Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
9:02 here on the morning show. John's been out. He's playing on a member guest. It's important stuff.
What does that actually mean?
It means the member, he's a member of a golf club, and he gets to bring in a guest, and it's a tournament.
And, they're two versus. They're twosome versus others? Okay.
Yeah. It's basically what he lives for now. It's Cabo Cup and member guests. The rest of this is just BS.
Did he go to a fancy place? Where is he? Is he playing in town?
No, it's where we went that one time.
Just like less than 3 weeks ago, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Where was that?
In Porter?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the day after the national title game.
I know.
Okay.
Well, he wasn't there. It was me and you.
Yeah, we had to
I
go.
Think it's at his, that's his club. Okay. I think that's where he is.
He was in L.A. at the time.
That's a long drive for his club. But they'll have him, so I guess.
You know, someone will. It is.
All right, so Astros go tonight. We haven't really talked about that at all. Framber Valdez.
It's a big weekend. Framber, Hunter, and Lance McCullers all go.
Yeah, Lance McCullers is back on Sunday. Expectations, I said yesterday I was expecting.
I think he'll go four.
Man, four would be a great outing.
Yeah, I think they're going to protect him.
He hasn't pitched for over 300 days.
Protect
him
and go four. Obviously, if it goes tremendously well, maybe he gets to the fifth. But
I didn't get a C in his last start. Like, what was his? What did his pitch count get up to?
I'm thinking 70 something pitches.
Oh, he got to 70.
I think I saw that in his last start.
Okay, I'd have to believe that 70 something is his. But realistically, realistically, he can't go more than four.
He threw 71 pitches with Corpus Christi on Saturday.
So so if he averaged 16 pitches an inning. We're at 64 pitches.
Would they bring him out for a fifth?
No.
No.
I don't think so. Four innings would be a win.
Yeah. So he went five innings scoreless, 71 pitches in his last rehab.
Good for
so,
him. We've had some fun instead of just, you know, we don't get mad at Lance McCullers. We try to have some fun about the coffee thing. We all want Lance to do well. I want him to do well. I'm not mad at Lance McCullers. It's just we make jokes just because it keeps us from crying.
Yeah. You laugh so you don't cry.
You laugh so you don't cry. That's all. But I think it's great he's coming back. I don't think he'll, you know. I don't have high hopes, but I didn't have high hopes in 22 when he came back. I really didn't, and he didn't pitch good in the minor leagues. He came back late in the season in 22, and he ended up pitching really well in the regular season, so which was surprising to me. So maybe we'll get that. He's a gamer. Lance has done some great things with the Astros. Unfortunately, his injuries and people's anger that he's living his life outside of his injuries.
He's not in a hole crying all the time?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not angry about it. It's just fodder for good jokes.
Sure.
We can get off jokes about Maven's coffee and stuff like that.
Podcaster, I'm not mad that he does stuff outside interest.
That's fine. I mean, outside of baseball, which I don't know how much longer it's going to last for him.
He's 31 years old now.
Yeah, dude's got to have a life outside of that. And that's fine. I do want him to come back and earn that paycheck, even though it's not my money.
Yeah.
I do want him to get people out.
I just want him to pitch well. For whatever reason, the paycheck stuff doesn't cross my mind because it ain't my money. I don't care if Jim Crane has a sunk cost or something like that. Just go out there and pitch, Lance.
There's two people in this world. People who are upset that you're not earning your money and people who say, who cares? It's not your money. You're pocket watching. It's like, that's it. That's the only two people there are.
Like, you could feel a certain way. I just don't understand it because Jim Crane had already decided to spend that money. Now, I get, hey, you're paying him. That means you can't pay someone else. I get that argument. Like,
it's hurting your
ability to improve the team because he's taking up salary.
Yeah, that's where I come from.
But simply upset because he's making money.
And not doing anything?
Yeah. It's not like he's looking to not pitch. He's trying. Of course he's tried. It's taken, what, 3 years and now he's finally back?
Now, I'm not going to disagree with people. It is better if he just was out of the public spotlight.
For his sake.
Yeah, just because I know how people respond to it. People get tired of seeing, like, if you're not playing, like Deshaun Watson, dancing, doing, what are you doing? What are you doing dancing? You're making 300 and, was he making 280
million? No, they have a point there because he was still recovering from an Achilles injury. That's why he shouldn't have been dancing.
And he didn't have his boot on.
Yeah, not
well,
that.
But do you think people want to see Deshaun Watson living his best life?
No, but not only was he living his best life, he did something to hamper his recovery. So if you want to be upset about the guy not taking care to try to get back, I get it. But Lance wasn't playing disc golf with that arm.
No.
And, oh, no. Yeah, he was doing what he could.
Well, if he is, he needs to be a backhand thrower. I'm a forehand thrower, and we do damage to our elbows.
Look what I've done.
I've had to stop playing for like 2 days because it gets – and I'm worried I'm going to have a UCL also, and I'm going to have Tommy John. But
what a waste of a surgery.
If I have a Tommy John surgery because of disc golf, I might as well quit radio.
We will crush you.
Because I cannot do the show with John and Dell anymore. Listeners, I can't do it.
I think of it as – I know Tommy John's are unlimited, that someone else could always do one, but I feel like you're taking away someone else's Tommy John surgery, yeah, so that's why you can't do it.
Some aspiring baseball player with a great future
has to have the surgery pushed back because you're in line.
Doctor.
Yeah, Kevin,
you're flying to the James Andrews of...
some 18-year-old pitcher
has to push back a surgery because you need...
the farm.
Because you... It's always a farm. Because you have a Tommy John surgery scheduled.
You'd have to
explore the rehab options, the non-surgical rehab options, I think.
Yeah.
That's true.
A lot of people have torn their labrum in their shoulder, and they'll tell you right off the bat, like, it's a partial tear, and they'll tell you off the bat, surgery takes a long time, recovery takes a long time, you got to be in a sling for a long time, you can't move, like, unless you're really young or somebody who maybe is a pro athlete, you probably don't need to get that surgically repaired. So I had that told to me. And it's actually fine now. I guess it kind of recovers on it. Some of them will recover on their own. I don't know. But like when you lift, you can feel it in the back. But, yeah, I hope I never have Tommy John. If I do, I'll just suffer through it.
Because
I'm not telling Dell and I'm not telling John.
Yeah,
you if just I have the to... surgery and I come back, I'll just be like, what happened? Why are you like, I'll just say, oh, I got shot. I'll tell just... them that I got shot stopping a robbery.
We already know you lie about that. Just say you fell off something and you broke your elbow.
It's not fell off something.
You've done that in the past. That's sellable.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it better.
It's better than saying, oh, Sean, let me ask you, as the non-heckler of Lance, what's worse, him telling us he fell off a ladder and broke his elbow, and that's why he had surgery, or he had to get Tommy John because of disc golf? What do you think is a better sell?
When you say it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also bad. The ladder, like, there's not a lot of follow-up questions.
It'll okay, he fell.
Like, oh, you dumbass, you fell again.
Yeah.
Tommy John for disc golf is, you don't come back from that.
You don't.
No. Not on this show.
I mean, I was a subject of ridicule for, like, 2 weeks because I took a week off
to play
of
CFB 25.
Yeah.
And it's still, if we were women, we would hold it against you for life.
I know.
Because my wife can bring back, her callback goes back 20 years. Like, it's not a problem.
Got a deep bag.
I let it go, but it's always here. Like,
yeah.
Next time you take vacation, it's probably
coming. You're going to just look, when does college football come out? Oh.
What got released this week?
CFB 26 is not that far away.
No.
What
a couple
released?
Months now.
July
7th. Let's get Anthony in here. Anthony wants to talk about, James Harden. Does that say Harden?
Yep.
Yeah. What's up, Anthony? How are we doing?
Hey, guys. Great listening to you. Having done sports talk radio in Oklahoma City for a few years and seeing the whole James Harden debacle and the Kevin Durant, you cannot start a 30-for-30 or a series on James Harden without talking about the time that he was in Oklahoma City. We still up there. Now, I've moved back to Houston, but we still don't know exactly what happened in that whole situation.
What do you mean by that?
Why he had to get traded.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know exactly the reason why, because it was James Harden saying one thing, and then it was Sam Presti and the organization saying another. And it's still like an unsolved mystery.
What did James say, Anthony? What did James say was the reason?
James said something to the effect that he didn't get a phone call until after he was traded. And Sam Presti is saying that we called him and we tried to re-sign him, and it just went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So you can imagine doing a show and you're trying to sit there deciphering all this information and thinking, okay, who's actually telling the truth and who's telling the half-truth? But I think if you're going to start any kind of documentary, you got to start in Oklahoma City, because the way that whole thing unfolded with those three guys, and I think Houston fans should be happy. You've got a young group of guys, and now Oklahoma City does as well. But the way that whole thing fell apart with the departure first of James Harden and then Kevin Durant obviously making his decision, I got to think if you're going to start a documentary on James Harden, you got to start with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Hold on. You did a radio show there?
Yes.
Oh, wow. What? When was it, in the morning, afternoon? Evening, like, when did you do it?
It was from 9 to noon, 107.5.
So on the outside looking in, so I can tell you this. I had this conversation with Daryl Morey, and Daryl said when they got him, he said, this is what he said. They had heard rumors that James might be available, so he continued to monitor it the entire time and stay in contact with Sam Presti. Like, it was actually brilliant how Daryl handled this. He kept talking to him, and started to draft and accumulate draft picks with the idea, because of the timing of when James would be available, he thought, because now he had heard that they didn't want to pay all three of them, but he also heard that he may be available, and so Daryl wanted to be first in line for James Harden, so he started accumulating pieces on his roster and draft picks so that he thought he might be able to make a deal. And so when James was available, Daryl was first in line. He had already cultivated that relationship, and he was able to do that. I do wonder, though, if they saw that side of James that maybe they didn't like, you know, the kind of the party side or whatever. Like, would that have shown up at that age in Oklahoma City, though? Is there a vibrant – I guess on the road you could do that, but, I mean, James is only, what, 3 years in? Is Oklahoma City, like, can James get in trouble there?
They were an organization that was very close to the vest, and they put their finger down on players for sure. You didn't see a lot of the guys out downtown in Bricktown, you know, hanging out and, you know, having a good time. So who knows what was going on? But, you know, to us up there, James Harden was like Bigfoot. Like, you'd see him every once in a while, but it was like, you know, is that really him? And yeah, it became a situation every single day of, you know, who do you believe? Do you believe that James Harden doesn't want to be the sixth man off the bench and he wants to go someplace and start? Or do you believe that he's happy and would have signed a contract with Oklahoma City to keep that whole trio together?
How pissed were you? You had to be really pissed as Oklahoma City fan watching what James did in Houston, especially for what you got back in return.
Oh, what?
It's one of the worst trades. It's quietly one of the worst trades that I've ever seen in the NBA.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, a lot of people that would call into the show, they would say, you know, why would these guys want to stay? It's Oklahoma City. The only thing that you're famous for are the Sooners and Tornadoes. Why not go to Houston? Why not go to L.A.? Why not go to Brooklyn? Why not go someplace where you actually have a nightlife and people don't crowd you when you walk outside just because you're a basketball player of that top nature?
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost a sympathy feeling, because the fans wouldn't blame those guys when they left, but at the same time, you know, you're on the cusp of probably winning a championship, and it just all falls apart right in front of your face. So it took them a few years to rebuild through the draft and accumulate all those first-round picks, and they're actually now in the same situation, to me, that they were when they had Harden, James, and Durant.
Wait, I mean, the same situation from a good standpoint, not from like we may need to get rid of our third guy. It could just be that they didn't think they could hang on to James, right? Because James was not going to stick around and live there because lifestyle was so big to James. Maybe they just thought
that's what the
that's
what the premise was, that these guys were not wanting to be in a place like Oklahoma City that's so small market and so, you know, you go outside and everybody knows who you are when you walk out. They want to go to places like Houston and New York and L.A. and Miami. But, you know, when they lost that opportunity up 3-1, you know, up against the Warriors, you could just kind of see the writing on the wall that this thing was all about to fall apart.
Yeah, but that was after James was gone, though.
After he left, yeah.
Yeah. That was the entire Golden State departure. Oklahoma City. Yeah, but I like the way they built it up. They built it up, and the SGA, the addition of SGA, like, it's built brilliantly. It's crazy that Oklahoma City and Cleveland are two dominant teams right now. If you look at how they came up, and that Houston and Detroit, these four teams, where they came from and how they came up, it's really – Thanks for the call, Anthony. Good to hear from you. It's really a cool footprint of how the NBA can be built instead of just, well, we've got LeBron, so let's get Luka, and now Lakers fans are, we're just going to add Giannis. No, you're not, because no one wants your crap. Well, no one wants that doo-doo on y'all's roster. The Rockets have real dudes and real draft picks. No one wants y'all's dookie-ass squad. Nobody. Austin Reeves. You think they want Austin Reeves, and parts of Wisconsin would like Austin Reeves, but probably not Milwaukee.
There is a belief that because they're the Lakers, it'll just work out for them, because it's always just worked out for them. Why do the Lakers have Luka? What reasonable reasons should they have Luka? And yet they have him, because Nico Harrison decided, and maybe rightfully so, we'll see, that this guy I can't give all NBA money to, the Supermax to, so I got to get rid of him. Now, we all have gone through, he should have got more, he should have opened it up to the league.
Yeah, which is true.
But why wouldn't Laker fans believe they can get Giannis when they just got Luka?
Well, let's hear from J.J. Redick, the head coach of the L.A. Lakers. Here's what J.J. Redick, you just got eliminated 4-1. You were, and by the way, if the Rockets lose today, the 2, 3, and 4 seeds all have a chance to get whacked in the playoffs, which I don't know the last time that's happened. But it also speaks to how deep the West is and how much it was a fist fight all the way down the stretch between 2 and 8, all the way from 2 to 7. Here's what J.J. Redick had to say about the Lakers, their head coach.
The work that's required in an offseason to be in championship shape. And, you know, we have a ways to go as a roster. And certainly there are individuals that were in phenomenal shape. There's certainly other ones that could have been in better shape. That's where my mind goes immediately is you know, we have to get in championship shape.
Gee, I wonder what he's talking about.
Couldn't guess. Well,
he goes on, by the way, that's a shorter clip. He goes on to say some guys are in really good shape.
Well, he said it there.
Oh, he did say that?
Yeah, he did say that there. I would say, JJ, I get it. Get what you're saying. But also, you don't play your starting five the entire second half.
Yeah, that's true. But so
maybe you
will. Is Luka ever? I'm going to predict Luka one off season. He will. This happens to everybody. Everybody, like I'm even trying to get back in shape right now. Everyone eventually tries to get back in shape. It will happen to Luka at some point. Is this going to be? Is the embarrassment of a first round departure with LeBron? LeBron's not going to want to go out like a sucker in his career.
No.
And that's where he's headed right now if Luka doesn't pull his head out. And also, let's face it, the West is just too tough for the Lakers.
Well, that was a bet that Nico Harrison made, that this guy wasn't ever going to do
he
what
was
it,
right, but he
what
did
it
enough.
Took.
So wait, we can't – how can no, we
I'm
give
not,
him
– I'm not giving him props. I'm okay. Just telling you his line of thinking. This guy wasn't going to be someone who I could depend on to be in the best shape possible to win a title. Now, the belief would be – that would never happen in Dallas. So that's why you make the trade. Of course, if you're a Laker fan, you think you got embarrassed by a franchise you thought you would never leave. You are going to get in the best shape possible to prove them wrong. Then throw on the first round exit to a team you beat when you were with Dallas and you just lost to them in the first round the next year. So this should be the jumping off point for Luka to take being an NBA star seriously. Because as great as he's been, and you know, generally the NBA media, and rightfully so, sides with, why would you ever trade Luka? But that's different from what I believe like football people. Because football people always talk about football character. And if he was a football player, you say Luka probably has bad football character. Mm-hmm. He doesn't take the job as seriously as others. He doesn't do all it takes to be great. And he's allowed his natural talent to be the driving force, not the hard work that's needed to be at the top of the game. And when you make a finals, some of that you get confirmed that, hey, what I'm doing is the right way to do it. You get embarrassed in the first round. People are talking about how your traffic cone on defense. You always look a certain way, no matter what the angle is. You look out of shape. Maybe, and who wants the Lakers to benefit from anything, this will turn him into someone who actually operates like LeBron does, where LeBron's spending $1 million to stay in the best shape possible. That's what the Lakers have to hope for. And I guess that's the first salvo from JJ. Hey, you're supposed to be the future of this franchise for the next decade. Start to look like it. Start to act like it. For us, I hope he never decides to.
Yeah, he wouldn't be the first guy. Like Charles Barkley complained that he's not in shape. Charles got in great shape in Phoenix. And then he was like, got to the Rockets, and he was done. He was done being in shape. So It comes off as a little weird for Charles to talk about him being in shape, but the fact is, at one point, Charles got in great shape with the Phoenix Suns and kept himself
and
there.
And made the finals doing it.
Made the finals, yeah. Luka 25 pounds lighter would be a problem. He's never be a good defender, but he'd be a little quicker. But he would be so much better in the fourth quarter. James Harden was at his best when he was lighter. And, like, right now the Rockets don't have any issues like that. All of our guys are in good shape, except Cam. He doesn't play. So
he's not in basketball shape because he never plays basketball.
Him and Reed Shepard cannot be in basketball shape. They do not play. All right, we got to break it. You guys want to jump in? We're going to start to go in a couple different directions here in a second. So 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, I mentioned this before. I'll just get to it real quick. The fan who fell out of the Pirates fan, who fell 21 feet from Clemente Wall in right field, has been identified as Kavon Markwood. It doesn't really say anything else. He's a former student and standout athlete is what he is, you know, I guess what they're saying. And if you didn't see this, they went on to say the Pittsburgh police and EMS said the incident is being treated as is accidental in nature. This guy fell 21 feet, they're saying, seemed even more. I guess I'm just gossiping a little bit, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because all of us have looked and, you know, John said he's heard the guy was super drunk and all that. I've gone and I've looked at it in slow motion a bunch of times because I don't have anything better to do. The draft is over. He literally jumps up, gets his feet on the rail, and jumps off in one motion. I was thinking it was accidental previously, but the more I looked at it, I don't think it was.
On purpose.
Now, I realize his hand gets caught up there or he tries to hang on or something. I don't know what happened, which makes everyone say it's an accident. To jump your feet up on a rail, I don't know. And maybe he was drunk, but it just seemed – I looked at it and I thought, and it's terrible. He's in critical condition. I hope the guy makes it through, but just strange behavior.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm looking at him as he looks like he was leaning over the rail, and then, yeah, I don't know.
Am I wrong? Doesn't he jump with 2 feet up on the rail?
It looks like he climbed up. Maybe he climbed up on top. I don't know, because it looks like his legs almost look like, you know, like gymnasts will, like when they're on even bars, that type of move where they're doing the flips around the bar. It almost looks something like that. I obviously don't know his mindset, but it doesn't look like he jumped. His 2 feet aren't on top of the rail, and then he jumps. It just looks like he tumbles over it. I just don't know. We can look at it, speculate, but, yeah, you can see out of control when he lands. And as you said, hopefully he's okay. Former football player, if you type in his name, you see a lot of stuff from him in football uniforms and played in high school and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't know how it occurred. I just saw, you know, you read a Reddit post here or there. You don't know what's really what isn't. People are talking about a state of mind. But all we really know is he's in bad shape, and we just hope he makes it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a great story. We have my man Steve Smith is getting sued by that guy. I don't know how you get sued.
Yeah, what's the reasoning?
So Steve had
breaking up a marriage.
You know, Steve had an affair with someone, and the guy released some videos, and he called Steve live and recorded it, which, by the way, is considered revenge porn. So Steve has his own case. I don't know if he's going through with this. And I saw Steve.
So he put out.
And I like Steve Smith a lot. I like him a lot. And I saw him at NFL Network this over the draft. Didn't get to talk with him long, but he's had a hard time. This has been hard for him. I mean, his family was involved and all that. So it's been hard. I don't want to make too much. I don't know. I really want to make light of it. But he has asked for more than $100,000 in a civil lawsuit.
So North Carolina has a home wrecker law. that allows a spouse to sue a third party for interfering with and destroying a marriage's love and affection.
They have a homewrecker law.
In order to prove alienation of affection, Martinez must prove that genuine love and affection had existed in his marriage, and Steve Smith was the cause for it dissipating. So they have a homewrecker law. So that's why he's getting sued.
Okay, that'll be interesting to prove that. We'll see how that one goes. Also, one other thing. Mike Trout has a bone bruise. He's on the IL now.
Is Mike Trout injured?
Mike Trout got injured running to first base.
So
y'all talk about me, and Mike Trout actually lives and is not even a top. Like, how do you talk about me and not talk about Mike Trout?
Well, because you're you, and we know
you. Mike Trout got hurt running. He got a bone bruise.
You got hurt running.
I can tell he got a bone bruise running.
You got
a bone bruise.
You got hurt tripping over a curb.
No.
Yes.
That's not, you're not telling the whole story.
You know, your story is a fake one because you say you were stopping a robbery from taking place.
A purse snatching.
Exactly. A purse snatching. That's how you got hurt. Sean's apparently never heard this story. What actually happened is you just tripped on a curb and messed up your foot multiple years.
I tripped on a curb.
But not
curb
you weren't chasing down
while
a robber.
In the action of trying to stop a crime.
Did you
talk
to
the police?
If I was
in Marvel Comics, you'd love me. You'd go spend a bunch of money to watch me.
No, you'd be one of the worst superheroes of all time.
I would.
You got hurt.
What are my superpowers? It wouldn't be.
You don't have powers.
You'd be Mr. Glass.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about this, right? When I was calling him Feeble, he's Mr. Glass.
When were you calling me Feeble?
Last week.
On your own show?
Yes, I called you Feeble.
Well, outside of our show, you're talking bad about me?
Yes, because it was in reference to one of the things you always do, leave a mess around. So I started talking bad about you.
What does that have to do with being Feeble?
It's just leave.
I'm not Feeble. I have bad luck.
No.
I have a bad memory. I'm ADD. What did I do this time? This last time? Oh, I lost my remote control that I watched my tape
with.
Your
Xbox controller.
And literally a $200 10 terabyte hard drive that's like this big USB drive that had a whole season of football, 2024 football. It fell out of a backpack. I accidentally had it unzipped. Bad luck.
It's not bad luck.
That's bad luck.
It's user error. It's not bad luck. You did that to yourself. Bad luck is getting it caught on something and not knowing it, and then it falls out. You didn't zip it up.
Oh, did I tell you
up.
About my keys disappearing?
They just disappeared.
No. This is not me. My keys I was only in two places. This is on Saturday.
Is this the
I'm going to leave home. Yeah. Mike Garofalo
took your keys.
He grabbed my keys. Now, he did text me early in the morning like, hey, I grabbed your keys. Sorry. Here's a picture of where they are. It's in Gerald McCoy's. But I didn't get to it because I was backed up with text messages.
Name dropper. Garofalo,
so,
Gerald McCoy.
That's where it was.
I
didn't get to see it until later after I'd called a tow truck to come get the car out because that's what Hertz said I had to do. And then luckily, I was able to stop the tow.
So, yes, that one wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
But usually you bring on your own
issues. But
you
guys would have acted like it was at the time. If people knew my habits, they would have crushed me.
Yeah, you would have to explain that Mike Garofalo, newsbreaker Mike Garofalo, took your keys on accident. But the other stuff, like getting hurt, not stopping a robbery, that's on you. That's not bad luck. You just are a poor athlete.
Wait, what?
You're a bad athlete. You're not. Yeah, I said it.
No, I'm not.
You fell off a ladder, so coordination's not your strong suit.
I made 11 of 25 from the three-point line at a shootout at the Toyota Center.
A shootout? Just because Adam Clanton was there doesn't make it a shootout.
Well, it was me versus myself, me versus the haters, okay. And I made that. There was no one in the building.
Yeah, no pressure at all.
But it was me versus the
haters. No one watching.
I'm just telling you, I could outshoot Ant right now today who wins a three-point shootout. And I'm not even playing anymore.
Name.
Me or Amen Thompson.
You don't have the stamina to go around the arc like
he
could.
We're not running. There's not a clock.
No, you get tired.
Oh, wait.
No. We're stationary.
Oh, you don't get the.
We got
it's
racks
not a,
there.
It's not a true 3-point shootout.
We got racks there.
You don't go from one station to the other?
We do, but there's no time.
You can walk.
Yeah,
you would
walk. Yeah.
Catch your breath.
I still think he gets tired jumping.
No, I'm a favorite.
I think you get tired.
Minus 285.
You're not a favorite. Because you would be pressured because Amen Thompson is shooting. And you know if Amen Thompson thinks you're clowning him, he might kill you.
We need Thompson to go first.
Yeah.
To put up
and then go in the locker room.
Yeah, and get out of
right,
here.
And back to that
you don't want him staring you down.
I don't want him. Yeah.
Standing under the basket.
Because he doesn't strike me as someone who'd be kind to his elders.
Yeah, I think he's very competitive. And if you actually dare to actually want to be in a competition with him.
What do you say? And now, earmuffs, okay, Sean?
For who?
What do you say? miss bitch to me like that, like scream at me, something like that, use bad words, call me a B-A-N.
I think he would talk to you like GP2, like he talked to GP2 at some point.
H-A-N?
If he thought you were disrespecting him in any way, by showing up, it would be disrespectful.
I've noticed that, by the way, that phrase is used for people. It's regardless of race.
Yeah. Well, yes, regardless of race. But
people can be called that. Like, you could call John that.
I would never call John that.
I know, but you could, technically.
I don't think I would.
And while the slur wouldn't make sense, it's become transcendent.
Well, the slur has transcended race, like, in terms of who gets called it. I agree.
Yeah.
Yes, that has happened. Yes.
And I could see him trying to call me that if he knew how much I liked him.
I think he would try to intimidate you because you...
100%.
Because if he heard... Because you are already being disrespectful. You said you could beat him in a three-point contest.
Oh, I didn't mean to disrespect
No, it's too late now.
No, let the record reflect. All right, I'm picking somebody else.
You better hope... You're lucky they're already in San Francisco. You're lucky.
Jack Lawndale. I could beat him.
I don't think you could beat any of their roster.
Jayshon Tate?
No. No. The pressure would get to you.
Anymore.
The pressure would get to you.
Cam Whitmore?
I'm telling you, Cam Whitmore could not. Cam Whitmore shooting open threes would beat you.
Yeah, 100%.
What are you talking about? All those guys would. Maybe not Steven Adams.
Amon's the one guy I can pick at, and I can't because.
You should have picked at Steven Adams because he's a jolly giant. He's not as rough as he used to be.
Yeah, I could beat Steven Adams for sure. I think I could beat Şengün now, too, in a 3-point shootout.
I don't know. I don't
like
think
he hasn't gotten better.
I really don't.
If you
think,
gave me 2 months, I think that I could beat Alper and Şengün in a
2 months
shootout.
Now. Okay, I don't think you could get up 25 threes without being tired.
No, I didn't say I wouldn't get tired.
I think
that's a long shot.
I think your legs would go.
Have you ever shot that shot?
It's a long shot. I think your legs would go.
And if you shoot it in a bigger building, it gets way harder. It takes you a while to get used to it.
I think you wouldn't get to the second rack before your legs would go.
Oh. I'm not going to use a lot of legs. That's what the smart...
You're a set shot guy?
Yeah, no. You shoot it on the way up. You don't use your legs.
You have to get some lift.
I'm just like Trent Tucker and those guys old school. You got to pace yourself for the next round because when I beat Amen, I move...
Oh, no.
First, I beat Steven Adams.
Okay.
Then I beat Amen Thompson in the next round. And the final boss round is...
Who? Dylan?
Jayshon Tate.
Do you think you'd make eye contact with Amen if you beat him? Would you ever... No, you wouldn't look at him.
I'd hold a fist out for a fist bump.
And he would not give
it to
you.
Fist bump.
No, he would hold out
if
a fist.
If I beat
too.
Him.
Well, it would be a fist, but it would be for a bump. Yeah.
If I beat out Amen Thompson, he for sure would not congratulate me.
He would not. Because you've already decided you were better than him for sure. And that's because you showed up. You think you can beat him and you showed up. He's not going to like that.
And what if Ime's sitting out there watching from a chair? I couldn't even.
Just
that'd
on
be
the
like
sideline?
That'd be like trying to. So I've had to like take a golf swing of people looking. It's hard. It's hard. You can't concentrate. You're just thinking about everyone watching. If I had to have a 3-point shootout against Amen Thompson and Ime is out there watching, knowing that Ime would be incredibly disappointed with Amen if Amen lost to me, which is going to make Amen even more surly. And I'm sitting there watching Ime and he's looking at me with that. And I've never seen a smile ever, like twice ever. Once was after he beat the Warriors in Golden State when he was talking to Steve Kerr. It would be really hard to get a shot off. To know how much pressure's on Amen Thompson, it would be embarrassing for him to lose to me. It wouldn't, in real life, it wouldn't be, if he knew how good I could shoot. But
sure.
But to him, knowing that his, you know, like Ime's like a father figure to the whole team.
I'm telling you.
That's like losing in front of, that's like losing to another person in front of your dad.
There's a chance manslaughter would take place if you beat him in a 3-point contest.
No doubt. We've become really aware of Amen Thompson being dangerous.
I wouldn't try him. All I'm saying is if he was one of the contestants, I wouldn't show up if I were you.
Hey, real quick, before we go to a break, there's talk about hair transplants for Travis Kelce. I don't know if you saw
that. I didn't
know
that. No.
And it's like, I don't think it's true at all. He's always, you know. And so his barber has weighed in. Does Travis Kelce have a black barber or a white barber?
Well,
his name is Vince.
Well, there are times where it looked like he was in on the white barber. And there have been times
where
he's been in with the black barber. I'm going to go Filipino barber.
Vince Garcia, you're right. It's Mexican barber.
Okay, Mexican
Hispanic barber.
Yeah.
But technically, I'm going to give
it's
you
not,
that.
It's not technically.
It was a trick question.
Yeah.
It was a trick question.
Yeah, there's a shot because you would maybe suggest that the Mexican barber.
I said Vince.
Or the Latino barber is more versatile.
His barber.
Yeah, you might think he's a little bit more versatile. He could cut the straight hair, cut different types of hair. So I assume Travis Kelce, depending on what he's feeling like, can have Vince cut his hair in multiple ways. So that's why I didn't go white or
black. Do I have
a black barber
or a white barber?
You have a woman barber, don't you?
Black barber, technically. Yep, I sure do. That's why I get the taper fades. 940 here on the show. 713-780-3776. No part. Oh. The part days are over.
Well, just on the side.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
.948 here on the show. We got a call. We can end it with some calls, too. I don't have a lot. Kanye's crazy. He's going to sue his dentist for giving him nitrous oxide. Whippets. Somebody's suing over Whippets. That's crazy.
Whippets are still a thing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Nitrous.
Nitrous will always be a thing.
But he goes to the dentist to get the good stuff. Amen will have a better chance of beating LZ at Frisbee Golf than LZ beating Amen. Literally, I would bet you my entire house that's wrong. Literally, Rhino, I would take where you live and you would live in a car.
You have been trying to take people's homes from out from under them all show.
No, Rhino's going to live in a car if he tries this. First of all, disc golf, you can't just go out and think you're going to...
You know,
literally have no idea.
The athleticism gap, you know, with disc golf, it's the great equalizer.
Yeah, that, you that's what first people of all, say. You don't have to have athleticism for disc golf.
That's what... I mean,
you really don't.
I'm going to tell you one thing.
And you don't have to smoke weed either. That's also not
okay.
True.
It's not part of the qualifications.
Well, people do it. Some people do it. And they also bring dogs with them. And sometimes you see old dudes like in their 70s playing together, like, oh, these slow ass guys. Let me play through. Gramps.
There's no way you can sound cool talking about how great you are at disc golf.
Yeah, I'm just saying what he said was not factually true. I got a much better shot of beating him in a three-point.
You will lose your house.
Do you not watch?
You will lose your house.
100% his house is gone.
Yeah.
His house is gone. Sean will come get your house, Rhino, from
Greenlight
Offer.
Greenlight, though.
Yeah, from Greenlight Offer. I have somebody who won't move out, Sean. I need you to come get my house. Rhino's in my house. Go get my house.
I wanted in a disc golf.
Pay me a rent house. I got people who lose in bet houses. That's right. Go get my house from Rhino.
Rhino won't get out
of
his house.
People's houses. They want to mess around with disc golf versus 3-point shootout. I can shoot threes. He can't play. Now, maybe he can.
You
I don't know
that he can't play disc golf.
He doesn't strike me as a disc golf guy.
What do you mean?
He just doesn't have the vibes.
The body type?
I'm reading a book. I'm judging a book by its cover. He does not strike me as somebody who is. Usually you do that when you're done with other stuff.
Okay.
He strikes me as, I'm still good at this. I ain't doing that.
Got it. Singular focus.
Yeah. Who's that on the line?
Nico.
Nico. Let's get Nico on here. What's up, Nico? How are we doing?
Hey.
It's Mito. You still wrestling,
that right.
Mito?
Hey, man.
Mito, why don't you tell people right about the wrestling if they want to watch you?
He's still wrestling.
You still,
yes, sir. I just had a type of titles match last Thursday, baby.
Did you win?
Man, we ain't going to talk about that right now.
He would have said, I just won a title match.
Oh, he had one.
Yeah, he
had
one.
Are you in line? Do you think you're going to get another shot at any point?
Oh, yeah, you damn right. New Texas Pro, baby. Look us up. You can find Mundo.
Oh, yeah, you're Mundo there.
Mundo,
that's
yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, man, you know, but speaking of that damn Shingun, he needs to go to Amen Thompson's toughness class, man. He's over there flinging his arms like one of them air things that are in front of the stores with his arms all up in the air and stuff. If he don't fix that, I'm going to personally go, Mundo's going to personally go choke slam him.
You said Alperin?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing that way too much now. It's out of control. And even when he's in the wrong and no one touched him, he's still trying to sell it. Like, why is that such a European thing or such an international player thing? Is it because of soccer?
I don't know.
And the trying to get calls because either red cards or penalty shots are so big. Like, I don't know why.
But this Alperin thing wasn't so prevalent last year or the years before. This has become a problem this year where he is always asking everything that happens when it doesn't go his way has to be a foul. He always has been fouled. And that is part of the adjustment of the playoffs where you're not going to get those calls. But it started before then. And now that there are things that matter, games that count, and things that people care about, we're noticing all of the things that Alperin does. Look, really good player. We just ask a little less of the selling, a little less of the complaining. Get back on D.
Mm-hmm.
Play through contact. Because contact's going to be there. It won't get less physical as the playoffs go on.
No, that's what bothers me is just, dude, just don't lean into it. Don't lean into it because it's only going to get worse. Officials are real people who don't like that. And you can't be the boy who cried wolf all the time. You can't. And we don't like it when LeBron does it. Like, if you're really good, you shouldn't have to resort to that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't like it when Tim Duncan would do it, when Manu Ginobili. I don't think Tony Parker did it as much. He's a Frenchie, so he's international. But, man, Manu was terrible.
Palms upright. Yeah, the palms looking around.
Big eyes.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan would, and he grabs the basketball with his double arm clutch. And, like, that was just so played out. At least Allen Iverson, if you're going to do it, then, you know, catch some contact, some real contact, and hit the ground. And, you know, James doesn't flop as much as he is.
He's a grifter.
Yeah, he's a grifter.
That extension of the arms, lifting it up in the paint. So, because as a guy's arm is extended trying to defend you, you just outstretch your arms, lift them up, and they'll come
across
your arms
and get
fouled.
I'd rather have a grifter because that ends up, because Shea Gilgeous-Alexander does it too.
He's a grifter
too. I'd rather have a grifter than somebody who complains about non-fouls. Literally, and they're getting beat down the court by the guy they're supposed to be guarding. That happened the other night.
Yeah, looking back at the ref.
Because they're still refereeing like, they're not going to call it. They're not going to call it.
I don't know what's going to happen tonight, and Pat Spencer likely won't be on the floor. But Alperin, you know there's a lack of respect when Pat Spencer will headbutt you when you challenge him.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not that guy where the referee is going to give you calls. If Pat Spencer can look at you and go, man, you better get out of my face. Mm-hmm. I'll headbutt you. Just play ball.
Probably isn't going to be the best call to take right before the end of the show, but let's get, because he literally, my name is his subject, but we'll get Jay in here. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, Lance?
How we doing?
I see you're on one today, so.
A little bit.
Obviously, we all know about the 100 men versus a gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
But what about a Lance Zerline versus a baby gorilla? I'll let you go.
I would lose. Yeah, these people who act like 100 men would beat a gorilla. Let me tell you why it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Only about 6 guys could get there at the same time. There's not enough surface space. It's not like 100 people are able to attack this gorilla. It's like 6. The first thing he's going to do is crush a skull immediately, and you're going to assume that 100 people aren't going to freak out.
99 more people are going to say, you know what, I don't care what happened to that guy. I'm going to keep coming.
It's like the idea of, I've only got 3 bullets in this chamber, and there's 10 people around. Who's going to be the one to die?
Who was willing to take a bullet in it?
Yeah, if you all bum rush somebody with a gun, 10 people, yeah, you're going to, but who wants to?
Who's cannon fodder for this gorilla? Who's going to take the first beatings to wear this gorilla out for?
They also bite.
Yeah, they don't stop with just the fists.
Yeah,
you'll
get your head smashed
in.
They
will rip skin off of you.
And then you got people waiting to get in on it. It's not 100 people at a time. This is the dumbest argument I've ever heard. You have to have incredibly strong, tough people, and probably on PCP.
Mentally tough as well.
Fear
of nothing. You're going to say a name. The name that's been like the through line of the entire show.
Okay, you know who it is. I'm not going to say it.
He who
shall not be named anymore on this show.
Yeah, he is our Voldemort.
100 of those guys maybe have a shot.
No, not even.
No, because he's too thin.
Yeah.
And you have to almost be on PCP.
You have to be drugged out to want to fight a gorilla. Watch him maim and murder the previous 20 people and then keep coming.
Because you're going
to
see a head that is literally crushed. Like it's like somebody running over a head. They say it's the worst thing you could possibly see. A gorilla could crush a skull easily with his jaws, with his hands. You're going to see that and think, I'm going to keep moving forward. No, you're not. It's over.
And that first wave, like, the gorilla can take them all out, like, with one swing of the arm.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. This first 3 waves are just going to be gone like that before you even can really lay a hand on them.
Yes, it's stupid.
It's dumb. I get pissed off listening to this. Yeah, somebody's going to have to do some unbelievable damage, and I don't know how. Now, if you told me they have weapons, all right,
but
we'll do 20 versus
hand-to-hand combat with a gorilla?
With hands? You think you're hurting a gorilla with your hands?
No, they fight other gorillas and keep going. What are we talking about?
This is the dumbest. They fight other animals in the world. What are y'all talking about? You can't hurt a gorilla. Well, if I got John Jones to do leg kicks, stop.
John Jones would break every bone in his body.
Yeah, leg kicks are going to, oh, the gorilla, boy, he just keeps landing. He gets one kick, and then the gorilla's going to crush his skull, too.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
You guys think that he's going to stand there, the gorilla's going to stand there and keep getting leg kicked like a UFC fight? That's not how it's going to happen.
No, no.
The 100 gorillas versus one person has really pissed me off because I don't think people think logically at all about this. Yeah, Some people do.
People don't even, like, we watch NBA players who've been trained not be able to handle playoff pressure. You think the pressure of a gorilla about to murder you is you're just going to stand there and be like, you know what? Yeah, the first 15, I know he chucked them aside pretty easily. But I'll be the one. I won't succumb to the anxiety and the pressure of near death. Okay.
Everybody watch a fight video where four guys are around and one guy snaps, like the one versus four, they're all kind of surrounding him, and one guy punches and knocks the other one out, and the other guys go, you can see the confidence leave them like, ooh, I don't want to be next.
Nope.
It's the same thing's going to happen with that gorilla when somebody's head gets crushed. Now, I don't know why this has pissed me off, but now it has.
Because you don't like stupid people.
Rockets, for sure the Astros win today, for sure.
For sure. Okay. Rockets?
Sure.
You think we got a game seven?
Sure. Let's say we have a game seven. We come back on Monday.
Speaking of confidence leaking, he's like, yeah, sure, game seven.
When we come back on Monday, we're either talking about what the Rockets need to do to prepare for next year.
Do they
need to make trades?
Or a miraculous comeback.
Or we're talking about, this is now the 10th team in basketball history who's come back down 3-1, and three of those teams would have been Rockets. 15 Rockets versus the Clippers. The 95 Rockets versus the Suns, and it would be the 25 Rockets versus the Warriors.
Yeah, and somehow the Warriors would be involved, the three of them themselves, because they came back against the Thunder down 3-1, lost to the Cavs the next series up 3-1, and this would be another one where they lost. Yeah.
Yeah, they would be involved in three if that were to happen. Yeah. So we'll see on Monday, but Dale, you just stay right in your chair there.
Well, I'll be moving to that chair. That area, at least. You'll take your chair with you.
This here, then.
Speaking of feeble, he's got a special chair. He thinks he's not feeble.
No, this is good. This is comfortable.
He's got a special chair, everybody.
No, roll it in because it's mine. I paid good money for this. No one else can use it.
Yes, and you'll beat Amen in a three-point contest as well. Understood.
Well, I have a better chance of beating him than he has beat me at disc golf. And I'm average at disc golf. Let the record reflect. All right, 10 o'clock. We'll see you guys on Monday. Stay right here. Mapes and Mopey coming up next.
Hey.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Bye, bitch.